Hi! We are so excited to welcome you to Gather to Scatter. We are Jordan, Mariah, and Rachel, three friends who love to talk about Jesus. Today, we are actually going to be continuing our series on what in the world, and we are covering
self-love. Mm-hmm.
So we must gather well to scatter well. We'll laugh, we'll cry, and we'll definitely be weird. But our hope is that we will encourage you to scatter well alongside us with a solid foundation on Scripture.
Yes.
All right, ladies.
Tete-a-tete.
Tete-a-tete is mine today.
Look at that smile.
She's excited.
Okay, well, so I've had like three that I wanted to do.
Okay.
And I'm trying to decide. I think I want to do the more like seasonal one. So as we're recording this, we're coming up into the holiday seasons. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking when this episode is going to be released, we will be like in January, I think, maybe.
Okay.
So it'll still be relevant.
Chilly.
Yeah. So Jordan is going to hate this question so much.
Thank you.
When do you set up for Christmas?
No.
And when do you take it down?
Why do you hate this one?
Because she's trying to convince the world that you should set up for Christmas right after Halloween.
I'm not saying full setup.
Sure.
But I am saying, so I will be decorating my house next week for Christmas. It is
2 weeks before Thanksgiving.
It is, yes. But I will not be putting my Christmas tree up until the day after Christmas. Or the day after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, okay, we're doing it.
So set up before Christmas and then wait. Slow build. No, I'll be putting my tree up the day after Thanksgiving because I always get my tree on Black Friday. But I'll be decorating the rest of my house before.
Okay.
Joy to the world.
Mary. I think you set up for Christmas the day after Thanksgiving.
All of it in one day.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's also just like what we did growing up. Like the day after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
We go to mom and dad's house and we make goodies for the people that we love.
That's sweet.
And it's so special. And now my sister's kids help us ish. They like to swish the stuff or they hate it. It depends on the year. But yeah. So that's just what we've always done. And so I don't remember the first time I knew someone set up for Christmas before Thanksgiving, but I was confused.
We always decorated the day after Thanksgiving as well.
And you said, not enough. I said, I would like more joy, please.
You could be joyful at Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah. Okay. When my Christmas decorations
sure,
grow up.
Sure, sure, sure. Mo, what do you think?
Well, I think it's like a me, myself, and I thing right now. So right now, I don't know. Last year I did it. I honestly don't know, guys. I don't have like a
no strong stance.
I want it done here. I want it done then. I don't have a strong
stance. Just when the mood strikes you.
Truly. Yeah, I think so. Because I really do like Thanksgiving. So like I want to appreciate that without Christmas being tangled in. But like, I don't know. But also like I do like being excited about Christmas. Because that was never like something super exciting growing up in my house.
So. Yeah.
I like being excited about it now as an adult getting to choose that, but I don't know. And I don't think it should last longer than like the first week into January. I think like after first week, you should tear it down. Mm-hmm. You should tear it down. It's a new year. Mm-hmm. Christmas was in the last year. Mm-hmm. And also I feel like you're thinking strongly about that, Rach, because of the faces you're making. But like, if you're setting up 2 weeks into November, shouldn't by like first week of January, you'd be like, I'm ready.
No.
I agree with you.
Okay.
No. I'm also a few days after Christmas. You bring it down.
Yeah. A few days after Christmas. Mm-hmm. I'm like end of January.
No, I said January.
End of January. I just, and part of it is just because I love my house at Christmas. I just love the way my house feels and looks. At Christmas, it's just so fun.
You do a very good job.
And I don't put things outside the house, so it's not like people inside seeing the crazy. But if you come into my home, then you see the joy.
Does it not make you sad at all? Like when you go in and like Christmas is a month ago?
Not at all.
Towards the end of January, you're not like, wow, Christmas.
No. I'll take my tree down. I'll take my tree down, but I'll leave the like wreaths up, and I'll leave the little twinkle lights up because it's just cozy.
That's cozy, yeah. Yeah.
Follow-up question, how long does it take you to throw away your tree?
Well, I'll let you know.
Wait, I wanted to say something so bad. I'm like, let it be.
You did it.
Fun fact, I still have my tree from last year in my garage waiting to be thrown away because I am lazy. So.
You are silly.
Yep.
It's funny, I have offered. Have offered
for you, like, you have
yeah, many people months. Have actually offered and I said oh yeah.
So in January you're just gonna have
two trees. We're gonna collect the trees apparently.
Okay, great, love that for you.
I don't know.
All right,
we'll see.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Well, happy holidays.
Yeah,
happy holidays.
I'm so excited. Oh, I'm so pumped.
Man, I'm just pumped alone because it's like it's starting to get a little brisk.
Mm-hmm.
It's the burr months. It is the burr months.
The burr months.
Yes.
I like that.
Yeah, October, November, December.
September.
Burr.
September's not cold, my girl.
Okay.
No, but it's the burr.
In some places it is. Yeah.
The BRR.
It is. Yeah. I use it both ways.
Yeah. Okay.
Interchangeable.
Hmm. Sure.
So, and a lot of the reason why I do what I do is because it makes me feel good. So.
Oh, that's segue. Your self-love.
Thank you.
Wow.
Yes, thank you. I really tried there.
You did great.
I don't think it was reach. I feel like it felt naturally.
It yeah. I think it's even better that we're talking about it as long as we are. Great transition.
Obviously. We must recognize
amazing
the transition.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
All right. So who wants to kick us off? Self-love.
What
love
is it?
Love of self.
What is self-love? We got to talk about that.
Love of self.
Love of self.
Love of self. Such as?
Mm-hmm.
There's a few things.
Okay.
An appreciation of one's own worth or virtue.
Okay.
Proper regard for and attention to one's own happiness or well-being.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I love this one.
Mm.
Inflated love of or pride in oneself.
Mm.
Self-love.
Self-love.
Love of oneself.
Okay.
Love of self.
Where are these from? These definitions.
Google.
Yes.
Google,
my girl.
Google.
Okay. I did something similar.
Okay.
And I've been very intrigued by the AI overview lately.
Oh, yeah. It's really cool.
Yeah.
It's one AI word. Is the hype.
AI is what it is.
Did we not watch that video about 30 minutes ago?
Do we not all? So watch iRobot, but whatever.
Oh, good take, because that's
thank you.
Freaky.
Yeah.
I loved that movie, but also freaky.
Also
freaky
there
deaky.
Anyways.
Oh.
So what I loved about this is that they actually pulled different practices of self-love from Very Well Mind, Cleveland Clinic, Health Essentials, and Psychology Today. So I thought that was very interesting.
What you loved about what? I'm sorry.
This article. Oh, the AI overview.
Oh, the AI article. Oh, okay. Right,
yeah.
Right.
Sorry. Yeah, it's not an article. It's just literally a Google search, and then this is the AI overview. And so it said there are some ways to practice self-love through self-care, self-compassion, self-acceptance, positive self-talk, celebrating your achievements, seeking support, and self-discovery. And so the overarching definition from our intelligent Google search is a positive attitude toward yourself that involves treating yourself with kindness and compassion.
Hmm.
And like, I mean, for the self-care one, take care of your physical and mental health by eating well, exercising, getting enough sleep. We should do that.
Yeah.
That's good.
God tells us to take care of our bodies because mm-hmm. our bodies are the temple.
Yeah. And then self-compassion, show up for yourself, support your needs, and honor your limitations. That gets a little interesting for me because I don't know what it means to show up for yourself.
So this is where I think we go into the realm of the world has over-influenced and hyper-emphasized the love of self.
Yeah.
And
like redefined mm-hmm. things that have previously been defined.
Yeah. Because like, yes, it is, we are to take care of our bodies. We are not to overindulge in food. Like we're supposed to be healthy. We're supposed to care about our physical well-being and our mental well-being. Like, God gave us a Sabbath to rest. We are supposed to rest.
Yeah.
Rest.
Save the sloth.
Yeah.
Rest.
But it's just such a... you don't have to be told to love yourself. And that's what frustrates me about a lot of what's taught today. They're like, oh, love yourself. I'm like, everyone naturally loves yourself. Like, you have to be told to love others. When you're a child, you do not have to be taught to seek your own well-being, self-interest, promotion. You have to be taught to share. You have to be taught to be kind to others. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, and we see in Matthew 22:37-39, when they're asking what's the greatest commandment, trying to trap him, him being Jesus, he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. It is assumed that we love ourselves.
Yeah.
And so we need to consider being selfless and like, when we're thinking of others, it's not like I'm thinking others are more important than me. I'm belittling myself. I'm doing these things. But I'm practicing thinking of caring for others and doing for others and loving others more than I am doing that for myself.
Well, and there, I can't remember who said it, but there was someone who said the definition of humility is not thinking less of yourself, but it is thinking of yourself less.
Yeah. Tim Keller.
Let's go.
Yeah. Good old Tim.
Mm-hmm.
The late great.
That definition.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Wait.
Speaking
of that.
Is that in there?
Yes. Yes, but it goes into more of it. Let me read this. It's actually great.
So this book that Mariah is reading?
Yes. I'm going to talk about it a few times in this episode, but it is by the lovely Allie Beth Stuckey.
We love her.
We do love her. It's called You're Not Enough, and that's okay.
It's good.
And we'll get into a little bit more what that means, but in here she actually quotes Tim Keller and that. In that quote Rachel just said, the essence of gospel humility is not thinking more of myself or thinking less of myself. It is thinking of myself less. Hmm. And so what he continues on to describe what that looks like, gospel humility is not needing to think about myself, not needing to connect things with myself. It is an end to thoughts such as, I'm in this room with these people. Does that make me look good? Do I want to be here? True gospel humility means I stop connecting every experience, every conversation with myself. Mm. In fact, I stop thinking about myself. The freedom of self-forgetfulness, the blessed rest that only self-forgetfulness brings.
Yeah. Go off, Tim.
So self-forgetfulness. I think that's so strong.
Yeah.
Forget about yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Think about others.
Yeah. Well, and when we consider like a lot of the frustrations, I guess is a good word, that can come up in life, like miscommunications or misunderstandings, a lot of the time, at least in my experience and what I see with my students, is we're just making it about us and it's not about us. And so we have to have a framework of the world does not actually revolve around me.
Yeah.
And I even say that and people are like, well, I don't think that the world revolves around me. And of course you don't think you think that.
Right.
But if we're honest and we can reflect on our everyday actions, our decisions, what we're thinking about, it's all me.
Mm-hmm.
What can I do for me? What can others do for me? How does this help me? Even what you just read, Mo, I'm in this room with these people. How does it make me look?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is innate. It is something natural that we're going to do.
Well, that's the fall. It is. I mean, I feel like I say this on every single episode we do, but it is the original lie. It is the serpent going to Eve and saying, like, you can be like God.
Yeah.
You, like, knowing right from wrong, you can be like God, not God is God and you are his beloved creation. It is you can be as he.
Yeah.
And that's just our innate desire because we want to be the masters of our own destiny and we are completely dependent creatures.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
This was a cool take. And this one made me really like, oh, wow, that's really interesting. So how easy is it for us to justify our own actions.
Oh, yeah.
But then condemn them when someone else is doing that.
Oh, yeah.
That's how much we blindly love ourselves.
Yeah.
Well, we judge ourselves by our own intentions because we know our intentions, and we judge others by their actions.
Mm-hmm. And then we assume we know their intentions.
Exactly.
We assume we know the motive of their heart.
Yeah.
The silly example of that that I like, it's about cars. I think I said it, or you said it, someone said it.
It was a movie or a car?
A car.
A car.
So when you're driving down the highway, if I'm blowing past everyone, I'm saying, oh my gosh, these people are so slow. And then when someone blasts past me, I'm like, whoa, slow down, speed racer. You know, and you're just like, I know that you guys are going too slow, but you are going too fast.
Yeah.
And we have no, like, ill will in that even, but that's just a silly example of how quick we are.
That's hilarious.
And it happened in the car when we were,
it wasn't that long,
coming home, like, from Tuesday. Church.
I mean, but that is also, like, what we are in the society we're in. I think that self-reliance and the American dream and the Western idea of anybody can be anything if they work hard enough is amazing. But I also think that the individualism of it has created a culture of I am the most important thing in my life, and I must put myself first or I will not get what I want. And then with the creation of technology and with the creation of social media, it's created that much more of a platform for us to view ourselves as the ultimate. Okay, how is everyone else seeing me online? I mean, and we're coming to you on an online platform. We have an Instagram where we are promoting ourselves that way. And that is a trap that we have to be aware of. And I mean, I was telling the girls earlier today, like, I'm not going to look at our Instagram. I'm just not going to, because I get in my own head and I'm focused on the way I look instead of the message that we're going. So I look at the numbers.
Yeah.
I like the numbers.
Number girls. Yeah. And I don't look at the numbers. Mariah loves numbers.
I do love numbers.
Mm-hmm. They're good.
They're cool.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So if we look at self-love as the world's idea versus a biblical stance, like, what is the difference then? Like, self-love that I'm hearing, like, some of this, it sounds, I don't even disagree with it, right? Like, take care of yourself. Yes, physically, psychologically, spiritually, we should be doing that. Mm-hmm. Have a high regard for yourself, like, your well-being and your happiness. Yeah, like, you should recognize your worth as a creation of the one true God.
Mm-hmm.
Take care of your needs. And don't, like, sacrifice your well-being to please other people.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds good. Don't settle for less than you deserve. That sounds good. So what's bad about the world's view of self-love?
I like all of those except for the last one you said. Mm-hmm. But the other ones are, it's the intention of the heart. Because, yes, we are to take care of ourselves because we are God's creation and his children. And he has entrusted the bodies that we have to ourselves, and we are to be good stewards. So we are taking care of ourselves, not because we are worthy of XYZ, because we are just wonderful the way we are, but because God has allotted a value to our lives and to our bodies and to us as people. And so we must take care of ourselves because of that. So it's our love for him that should lead to our maintenance of ourselves.
I like that word for it.
Maintenance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that word. And so what you're saying then, the world seems to be saying, like, our self-love is going to be the foundation, like, the springboard for how we go into life, what we're able to offer, what we're able to do.
Mm-hmm.
But what the Bible says is, no, Christ is that foundation.
Yeah. There's a really, really famous show that says, if you can't love yourself, how the heck are you going to love anybody else? And I've edited that.
You've edited that?
Yeah, they cursed. They didn't say it.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a pretty famous, I feel like that's a pretty famous, like, self-motivation talk. Like, you can't love others until you love yourself first.
Yeah. You need to be content and confident and believe in yourself and love yourself in order to love someone else.
Well, right, which, how selfish does that sound?
Yeah.
What? All I hear in that whole quote is selfish.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about myself before anyone else, and if I'm not happy, why should you be happy? Or why should I make you happy if I'm not happy? Yeah. That's just one feeling, you know, happiness.
It's also works-based.
Yeah.
I have to do this, I have to do this, I have to do this in order for me to love myself so that I can love other people. Mm. Yeah. That's a lot of...
onus on your...
Yeah.
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 You said a lot of I there.
Yeah.
I.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me, mm-hmm. me.
Mine. So is it wrong to love ourselves?
No, I don't think it's wrong to love ourselves, but we love ourselves because God first loved us. Mm. And like going back to what Mariah said, it's not that if we don't love ourselves, we can't love others. It's we love ourselves because Christ, or we love others because Christ loved us first.
Yeah.
Like it's that the Matthew verse that Jordan mm-hmm. said, it is, we are able to love others fully and completely because we know the love of God.
Yeah.
And that's something that, I mean, and I know we're not talking about dating right now, but as a believer, one of the things that is really important to me, obviously, is to date another believer. Mm-hmm. And that one of the main things is because I know a man will not be able to love me well if he does not know the love of God.
Yeah.
And that's the whole thing.
It has to be God first.
Yeah.
The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you.
Amen.
Philippians 2:3-4, do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. John 3:30, he must increase, I must decrease.
Yeah, that's a great one.
It is thinking of ourselves less.
Yeah, thinking of ourselves less.
Yeah, it is thinking of ourselves less.
Yeah.
God is first.
Yeah.
And I think that I've said it before, I don't remember which episode, but when I went to a camp growing up, and it was Drew and Kathy's Wind Shape, and they had I Am Third, because it is God first, other second, I am third.
That's good.
Yeah, and it's just helpful.
Yeah.
And it's right. That's a right order.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think it's interesting to look at the world around us because it seems like the more and more people self-identify, and I mean, we just got out of a political
election cycle,
and both sides, honestly, it was very self-interest motivated, and it was you're either identifying with a particular group of people or both of them are. And it's very much a what is good for me.
Mm-hmm.
Me, mine, and ours. Like that kind of mentality. And it's the more and more we think about that in our culture, the more and more we see people dependent on antidepressants and antipsychotics. Because when you're so absorbed with yourself and when you're so... Someone says navel gazing, and I love that. It's like when we become a navel gazing people, we lose sight of those around us.
I don't know what you just said.
So navel.
Didn't we just recently talk about this?
I don't know. Maybe
I thought we did. No, navel gazing.
I've never heard that in my life. Am I crazy? Did we talk about it here and I forgot?
I thought so.
Okay, say it again.
Navel gazing. So your navel is your belly button.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So when we are constantly looking down at ourselves and we're navel gazing, like we're literally just like looking at ourselves.
We've not talked about this.
No.
It's a term. It means to be inward focused. Yeah. We become a so self-absorbed people that we lose sight of others and we lose sight of God because we're focused on ourselves.
I went navel like the Navy.
The Navy.
And I was very confused.
Yeah. In the Navy.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So that's...
No.
I understand.
So maybe it's not that we don't love ourselves enough, but oh.
Oh, you saluted.
I did. You did look, and I was just like, all right, I'm going to put it down.
I saw it. I'm like, oh. She's going.
I guess it should technically be my right hand, but my mic's in the way.
Yeah, you were doing it to Jordan.
I was trying to. I was actually going, like, navel gazing, but then it turned into a salute. There was a lot of brain.
Because she said
maybe. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
There we go.
So maybe it's not that we don't love ourselves enough, but it's that we love ourselves too much, huh?
Amen. Sounds like it.
Yes.
Well, because isn't it crazy that even our insecurities
mm-hmm.
lead back to still being I
mm-hmm. and self-love? Yeah.
Yes.
And what's at the root of all that? Pride.
Yeah. I deserve because I'm wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Self-obsession.
Mm-hmm.
Even in comparison with insecurities, like, what is at the root of that? I'm looking at another person. I'm comparing. I'm saying I'm better. You're better. Even if I'm saying you're better, I'm then kind of spiraling into an insecurity, which is rooted in the fact that I think that I'm supposed to look a specific way because I think I'm perfect or should be perfect.
I should be the standard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And even the, you know, like the self-pity. Why me?
Yeah.
Why is this happening to me?
Yeah.
Even that is a self-obsession.
That's huge.
Yeah.
Because it's like,
how could this happen to me?
Exactly.
I don't deserve this.
Yes.
Actually, my friend.
What do you deserve?
Hellfire and wrath.
Yeah.
That is what we deserve.
Yeah.
But also, too.
I thought you were about to say, but God. And I was going to be like, yes. But God.
Yes.
Rich and mercy.
Which I am circling back to that. I just didn't just say, but God, period. But yes, exactly. But God. So, like, I don't want to discredit the people who, you know, are struggling and do have, you know, self-esteem issues, this, that, and the other. Mm-hmm. Right? You know, that we're not trying to, I know we can sometimes sound a little harsh and you know, straightforward, but we're not, I'm speaking for you guys, but we don't want to sound like that, right?
Yeah.
We just want to bring a little bit more awareness and maybe give you another perspective, because I think what they're missing, what I was missing at one point in my life was the Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The love of the Lord.
Yeah. And we just don't realize that we're looking for love in all the wrong places.
Yeah.
Why are we looking for love in ourselves?
Yeah.
When we have the love of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't know.
Mm-mm.
Someone who doesn't know the love of the Lord doesn't know what it can feel like. So.
Yeah. And then they can start looking for it in other people. And how much pressure is that?
Yeah.
Like, okay, well, I can't satisfy myself, so you got to do it.
Oh, and exhausting.
No one can do that. Exhausting and just not a realistic expectation.
Yeah.
No one can do that except the Lord.
Yeah. Mariah, I like that. And I think that we should focus on the "and that's okay" part of this conversation, because it's like, no, we're not good enough. Like, we are not, in and of ourselves, we are not worthy. But that's okay, because we know and love the one who is. Like,
yeah.
Our God is so rich in mercy that it is mind-blowing when you just sit with it and think about it. Like, the fact that, and I read something today on Instagram, and it was talking about how, like, the fact that God would put a leader above a nation who is a vile man and who is adulterous and who has a sick mind is amazing, because then he gave us the Psalms, and that's King David. Like, that man who was of God's own heart was horrid in and of himself, but God changed his heart and softened him and sanctified him and bestowed value on him because of the blood of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I just that's, it's so wonderful when you see it from that angle, when you see the beauty of grace.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I'm rambling, so I'm sorry, but it continues in that, like, when you do not think that you can do any wrong, when you are the captain of your own destiny, you do not see your need for a savior.
Yeah.
When you think you can do it on your own, and it's going to the workspace thing that Jordan said, like, you are trying to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. You do not see the beauty and the love of Christ and what his blood will free you from. Because it's honestly so relieving when you realize you don't have to do it yourself. Like, because we can't.
Yes. Right. Relieving.
Well, and it's not just like linear, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's a roller coaster.
Oh,
it's not just like, oh, I'm only ever moving forward. Consider David himself. Like, he started not impressive, overlooked by his own father, and then used by God, and was very humble, had plenty of opportunity to usurp Saul, and would not, because at that time, Saul was the chosen king. And so he continued to be humble, and then he grieved when Saul died, when Saul tried to kill him.
Yeah.
Many times. And then he came into power, and he did really well, and then he started going downhill. And what do we call David? A man after God's own heart. And he was an adulteress and a murderer. And, like, no human being is perfect. And we cannot expect any type of leader, whether it's our boss or our president. Like, we can't expect any human being to be perfect or to be a savior.
Yeah.
No one is, other than the Lord.
No.
Yeah.
And so while we're on this journey of, like, self-love and acceptance, we have to also recognize, if we're honest, we know that we're fallen.
Yeah.
We know, like, if you're on a journey of self-love and accepting yourself 100% and you don't have that very important ingredient of the love of God,
mm-hmm.
how are you ever going to get there?
Yeah.
Because you know your thoughts better than anyone else.
Yeah.
You know the thing, the actual motives of your heart better than anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And so how do we get there?
Yeah.
Without the Lord?
Yeah.
That's not hopeful. That's pretty hopeless.
Yeah.
The hope is found in God and God alone.
Yeah.
Amen.
Going back to what Rachel said, you're not enough, and that's mm-hmm. okay. So mm-hmm. that's the name of Ali Vestucky's book as well. And that's okay part, it's kind of, you know, like a dot, dot, dot after that. And as yeah. we just said, the dot, dot, dot ends with, but God is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You are not enough, but God is. So mm-hmm. that's why it's okay. And there's this Ephesians, I want to read this, Ephesians 2:4-9. It says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. Mm-hmm. It is by grace you have been saved. Mm-hmm. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Jesus Christ, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. Mm. And this is not from yourselves. Mm. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that one can boast.
Mm.
For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do.
Come on, Paul. I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he is someone who could boast. He literally, and I say this all the time, he was the Jewiest of Jews. Like, he was born into the right family, was taught under the correct...
Hebrew of Hebrews.
Yeah, like, he was the one who had all the accolades mm-hmm. and could point to his achievements. And yet he said, all of this is as filthy rags compared to what Christ has done for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, so good.
It is.
And how come we think we don't need anyone else but ourselves? Like, how can we think that we can be so mm-hmm. powerful and so content with just ourselves?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I, that's like a genuine question. That's not me just being like
pithy.
Yeah. Not, like, that's not me trying to be over here being a brat. Like, I mm-hmm. like, that's a genuine question for people. Like, how mm-hmm. can you think you can get through this world? Like, I don't need anyone else. Well, like, starts I love with myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's hard. That's tough. That's mm-hmm. tricky. And yeah. like, that was, I think all three of us at one point in time.
Oh, 100%.
Like, yeah. So that's exhausting, like I mentioned yeah. before. It's
and you can see it in little sad. Ones.
Yeah.
Like, I'm remembering yeah. my nephew trying to open something by himself, and he would not accept help. Mm. Like, we have a natural desire to do things by ourselves and not need help. Asking for help is hard. It yeah. is a skill yeah. that I help my students to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And they come in, yeah. and they are, like, wide-eyed. And I'm like, all right, you need to ask your teacher for help.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I am thinking of this now, so we might need to cut it out. But okay. I really think that the enemy has used, like, he's obviously studied mankind from the beginning. Like, he understands the way we function and work. And I think yep. that's why he's targeted the family unit the way he has,
mm-hmm.
because he's made us think that we can do it ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so we look around and we are so isolated. We're more isolated than we've ever been.
Yeah.
We're more depressed than we've ever been. And it's because the family unit and the communities around us are so isolated.
Yeah.
Like, we you're not going to get the same community. I know we're trying to build something here, but you're not going to get the same community online as you can in person. Like,
mm-hmm.
I love my friends who I see once every 6 or 7 years, but it is a different relationship than the girls that I have to my left and my right. It's just yeah. when you're doing life with people, especially people who love the Lord, there's just something about it that mm-hmm. is just so much more filling.
Yeah.
Another hot take, hot question.
Okay.
How can self and self-love be the solution when it's also the problem?
Oh.
So if our problem is that we're insecure and unfulfilled, we're not going to be able to find the antidote in these things in the same place our insecurities and fears are coming from.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, that's like, let that one sit for a minute.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a problem.
Yes.
It's a problem.
Oh, that's so wild. Yeah, I haven't thought about that.
That's
yeah.
just like having whiplash. But literally, like, yeah. I have a problem, I'm going to fix it. Oh, I am the problem. No, I have to fix, like, that's exhausting.
It's what like, an oh
exhausting
gosh, I'm way not to live. Good enough, but I've got to fix it. Yes. What?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No.
Oh, my.
I say nay, nay.
No. What?
I say nay, nay. Oh.
She went back to the 1700s for a moment.
Nay, nay.
Nay, nay.
I, you know where I went with that? Now watch me whip.
Now watch me nay, nay.
And I don't say whiplash.
Not the thing, but like my, I don't know why. And then I went with my brain. We are the knights who say nay.
We are what?
The knights who say nay.
Nah, girl. What are you talking about?
Oh, it's Monty Python. My people out there.
I was going to say,
we are the knights who say nay.
Yeah, you are.
Just a flesh wound.
Okay.
There's a... All right. We all gotta watch that movie. Okay. It's ridiculous, we'll add it but it's to hilarious. The list with Tarzan. Oh my gosh. It's so good. This is a very different genre. Very different. It's a boy movie. It really, really is.
Okay.
I like a boy movie.
Yeah. Very funny.
So, what do we think? Do we think that generations today are happier or less happy than no. previous generations? Like, do we think self-love has been so ingrained and so learned and so taught and so just pushed in your face that we think we're happier today?
No.
Hard no. Which is crazy, right? Because what yeah. do you think that we would be if mm-hmm. there's all these motivators, if there's all these tests that tell you all the things you need to know about yourself.
No. Oh God. My gosh.
There's all these, just everything. These books, these podcasts, these this, that, and the other in your face to tell you how to love yourself. Mm-hmm. Don't you think we should be a generation of happy freaking people?
That's what people tell us it should be, and it is not.
The obsession
yeah.
with quizzes to know myself. Like, what Disney princess would I be? Or, I'm sorry, I'm about to get real controversial, the Enneagram. Like, I hate them because it's like, no, like, you don't need
use it as cop outs.
You don't need to know more about yourself. You need to know more about the Lord.
Yeah,
like, in order to interact with others, like, I don't need to know that I'm a 7-wing 9 or whatever they are. I need to know that God has told me to treat people this way because he loves them as well, because they are created in the image of God just like myself, and they are worthy of this.
Yeah.
Because he said so.
Yes.
I definitely think starting with the word is best.
Amen. Yeah. Learning things about yeah. yourself is helpful too, right? Like, we yes. have to be able to tease out things that have happened to us and the way that we have experienced them, any traumas that we've experienced. Like, there are spaces for, like, wow, I actually need to do an introspective deep dive, not by yourself, like with a therapist or a counselor, so that you can figure things out. But the basis of all of that should be the Lord.
Yeah. And I think that is I agree that you should do it with someone else so that you don't go too deep, because you can become so obsessed with it mm-hmm. that you just turn to think of yourself.
Yeah.
Like, there are, like, I love biblical counseling, and I would highly recommend it for literally everybody.
Yeah.
I don't think that you should be in it for years and years and years and years on end. I think no. there should be a point where you're okay mm-hmm. and you may go back, mm-hmm. but
that's just life.
Yeah.
That's just life. And if you're doing really well right now, that's fantastic.
You might not be tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
I'm just sorry.
I mean, you're not wrong, but dang. I was going to say, you may be doing really great right now, and that's awesome. Seek out help from your church and go ahead and create those relationships, so if you wake up tomorrow and everything's not okay, to get back to Rachel's dark moment, you'll have the resource, right? Like, the great thing about the technology that we have and the introspective and self-love, whatever, like, it has made us consider, like, am I okay? And I think that's good.
Yeah.
I think it's good to consider that, but what, like you were saying, Rachel, we don't need to become so obsessed with it that we just spiral into it, and what we're focusing on the most is us and our healing and our growth and our fill in the blank versus God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that can also lead to, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like acceptance, where acceptance shouldn't be, in the sense of, like, if you take this test, because I don't have a strong stance on it, to, like, maybe try and understand yourself to this is just an example to understand, like, how you could work with someone, mm-hmm. kind of thing, yeah. you know, to understand, like, someone's working style or something.
Yeah.
But if you're using the results of that to accept, like, a behavior that you have,
yes.
or this, that, and the other, I think that that can yeah. be very harmful. Like, yeah. you can't be like, right. oh, I got this result on this test. That's
yeah.
why I,
yeah.
that's I'm why Aries, I'm so stubborn.
Exactly. Yeah.
Or so, I did it this way, but I'm a one. Yes. So, and, like, I'm a fan of the Enneagram. Like, I'm a fan of things like that to a point.
Yes.
And I think people can get carried away with it.
Yeah.
But I think things can be used well, things can be used poorly, and we have to make sure that we are on the right end of that spectrum.
Yeah. And
I have no problem with the disc. The disc is great.
What's a disc?
No idea.
The disc. It's like what I took it in high school. And it would, like, put you into, like, oh, I'm more of an extrovert. I'm an introvert. Like, I like to drive. I like to, like, those types of things. Totally cool with.
Okay, the disc or the colors or the, yeah.
Isn't that what Liz showed?
Yeah. It's a disc and it's colors.
Yeah.
D-I-S-C.
Animals. There's a lot of.
I don't know. I just know the number. I just know the letters. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's right.
D is green. I is red. Yeah. S is blue.
And you can be, like, a little bit more of everything. Like, I'm a D-I-C. I have very little S.
You have a lot of S's on here.
S's.
I do have a lot of S's on here.
Dominance, influence, steadiness, conscientiousness. Cool.
Yeah.
Mm. Interesting. Yeah. So, and I mean, that's just true of everything. It's always true. Whoa. I don't know if I want to be that extreme.
Not that hyperbolic.
It's always true.
Relative.
Yeah. But it is always the motive of the heart. I will say that.
Yes.
And so it is always going to be important that we consider where we are on the spectrum. And we need to, like we've said before, have community so that we can have people while we are learning how to biblically love ourselves, call mm-hmm. us and say, like, hey, girl.
Yeah.
You're doing too much.
Yeah.
You're thinking about yourself a lot. You're leaving a lot of people out. Whatever it is, whatever your current situation. So, again, you can do a poor job. You can do it way too much, and you need to find where you are on that spectrum.
Yeah.
Also, like, think about a time where you are sad or upset,
mm-hmm.
and you get into a room with your friends, and, like, it's hard at first, but
yeah.
when you flip it and you aren't thinking about yourself, mm-hmm. and you are, you go and think about the people that you're with and you mm-hmm. care about, it really can help your mood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Your heart has to be in it, though, I think. I think if you're surface level faking it, it won't help change your mood.
Yeah.
But if you really care about these people and you really care about their well-being,
mm-hmm.
pouring into them, even when you feel like you don't have anything mm-hmm. left of yourself, can help you.
Yeah.
It really can.
Yeah.
And you can, even when you've lost something, you can celebrate someone else having that. And mm-hmm. you can be hurting.
Yeah.
But still be celebrating them.
Yeah. Both can be true.
Yeah. I was in a wedding 3 weeks after mine was called off.
Mm-hmm. Woof. That's
hard. And, like, I love her. And
yeah.
I was like, there's no chance. She was like, you don't have to come. Everyone was telling me, like, you don't need that. And I was like,
I will be there.
I can't miss that. What do you mean? And, like, I'm not going to, like, fully be there because I'm not great right now, but I'm going to do everything that I can. Like, you can. You can lose your job. You can be fired and then celebrate your friend who just got their mm-hmm. dream job.
Yes.
You know, like, you can do these things. Is it hard? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But we have to stop steering away from what's hard because it's uncomfortable. We have to get comfortable being uncomfortable in the effort to better ourselves and love others.
Mm-hmm. Well, and ask the Lord to bolster you through those experiences.
Yeah.
Like, ask the Lord, like, let me truly be joyful for this friend
mm-hmm.
who has what I want. Like, I love them. You love them. I want to be happy for them. Help mm-hmm. me feel that.
Yes.
And he will. I mean, it says in the Psalms, like, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Like, mm-hmm. there is a time for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Because, again, it's not our own strength.
No.
Praise the Lord. Strength.
Yeah.
So,
praise him for that. Yes,
truly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
I feel good.
Do you? Do you feel good? Tell us about it. How do you? You love yourself? You feel great? Yeah. That's so fun. I literally look down to read self-love as I'm saying, I feel good. That was so funny. That's great.
No, truly, self-love is a very interesting topic because genuinely, I can understand how people could think it's empowering.
Yeah.
I could. I see the wrongness in it now, but I can see how self-love can sound empowering and like you're doing right by other people.
Yeah. Well, and to go back to the beginning of this episode, like, how are you defining it? I remember I posted something, this was years ago when I was still working for the church, and I posted something and the term, I guess, self-love was in there. And one of the staff members that I worked with messaged me and they said, so is self-love biblical? Mm. And I was like, honestly, I was like, what are you talking about? Like, I think I was like, drink enough water, exercise, self-love, something. And I was just like, no, these are good things. What do you mean? But it was the first time that I had actually considered that. And my definition of it was different than what the world's was and was even a little bit different from what theirs was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we have to just be careful. Again, I can't assume I know what Mariah's definition or Rachel's definition of something is just because it's mine.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Well, and show me somewhere in the Bible that it tells me to love myself.
It doesn't. It never does.
Exactly. Right. It says to love others.
And love God.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and it says to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. If you're loving him with all, there's nothing left to love yourself with.
Yeah.
All.
All. Every bit. Yeah. One of the articles that I found was from Got Questions. I know you're all surprised.
We always have questions, so I'm glad you go there.
I do go there. But I liked this explanation. Biblical love is selfless and unconditional, whereas the world's love is characterized by selfishness. And then they have passages where we see that love does not exist apart from God, and that true love can only be experienced by one who has experienced God's own love firsthand.
Mm.
And they reference Romans 13, 9 through 10, John 13, 34 through 35, and 1 John 4, 16 through 19, which we'll include in the show notes. Then they talk about the Good Samaritan.
Mm.
And I love... It's always interesting to me. Sometimes we're like very to the point of like self-love only, but sometimes there's like so many other things and it's all related, right? Yeah. Like our God is an infinite God. And so these things are going to like self-love is going to bring us to talk about community. It's going to bring us to talk about the church. It's going to bring us to talk about being the Good Samaritan because it's all related. And so when we consider the Good Samaritan, there was only one person who showed himself to be a true neighbor of that person in need. Love your neighbor as yourself. Who's your neighbor? All the people.
Mm-hmm. Everyone.
Every single person. It's not the literal person who lives next door to me. It's the person that I see at the grocery store. It's the person that I see when I'm pumping gas. Like, it's every person. And so as you are figuring out...
It's the person laughing a little too hard at the comedy show.
Yeah, it's that person too. When everyone else is cringing and we're laughing and someone's laughing a lot or it's something inappropriately. Like, it's everyone.
Yeah.
And if we are to sit here and say everyone is created by God and I am to love God first and love my neighbor as myself, we need to be doing that practically.
Yeah.
And it can be small. This morning, one of my old students came and spoke at our FCA, and the student was like, you know, like, just smile at someone in the hallway.
Yeah.
It could be as simple as that. Like, in a world where we are so attached to our technology, put it down when you're walking, when you're going for, well, hopefully you're not running and looking at your phone, but, like, when you're out and about, stop looking at your phone. Stop looking, like, look at the people around you. Make eye contact. Smile at them. We're missing so many opportunities to show the love of God in very small ways and probably in very big ways because we are so thinking of ourselves, like, what's on my Instagram feed? What is my friend doing right now? Because I'm stalking all of you all the time because Mariah has rubbed off on me.
Yep.
And just figuring out, like, how can I today love other people?
Yeah.
Ask that question.
I have a funny, like, little,
let's go,
anecdote from when I was little. And this just goes to show, like, you really don't need to teach kids that, like, to think that they're the center of the universe.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
there's two different things that I thought as a child that was just, it's just very funny. And my parents love to tell a story. When I was like 5 or 6, I asked my mom if before I was born, everything was in black and white. Because of all of the black and white TV shows. And she goes, so now the joke is, yes, Rachel, color entered the world when you were born. And when your brother entered the world, it was Technicolor. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
That's hilarious. Also, love that that was your question. That's great.
Oh, yeah. And then the second one was, I genuinely, like, you know the, when you, like, are playing, like, peekaboo with a child, it's because, like, they're trying to recognize that someone is still there when they can't see them?
Yeah. Their brain hasn't developed there yet.
Right. So when I was, again, around the same age, I really thought, like, people did not exist when I was not in the room. Like, I thought, or they were, like, puppets, like, up on the wall, like in Toy Story.
Just waiting for you to come back in the room.
Yes. Like, I was like, they didn't have lives.
So, like, opposite Toy Story.
Yeah, opposite Toy Story. Yeah, good catch. Yes. Yeah. Like, I genuinely thought that because I was like, obviously...
Everything's about me.
Everything's about me. I'm not there. What are they? They're not doing anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and how often, I mean, I'm like this now with my parents. I call them, they don't answer. I'm like, what else are you doing?
So true.
Other than being my parent. What do you mean? I'm grown. I know. But like, what?
We literally said that.
Why do you have a full life?
Called my mom. She didn't answer. Jordan goes, how dare she?
Yes.
I said, right.
How rude.
That's funny.
JK, we love you.
Hmm.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
So, are we ourselves enough?
No.
No.
But. That's okay.
Okay, I was so confused. Like, we're ourselves all day. I don't understand.
Because God is.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. God is. He is enough.
Mm-hmm.
Should you drop the mic?
Oh, are we? I think we it might have a bad. Ourselves enough.
Oh.
Okay.
What did you think I said?
Ding!
Are we ourselves? Like, am I myself a lot enough? Like, am I not, like, am I being, like, imposter syndrome? Like, am I being authentically me?
See, even in that question,
different
understandings of it.
Same
different understandings of it.
I was like, I don't understand this question. I was like, no, like.
Are we enough?
Yeah.
No.
And that's okay. I mean, yeah, that's the question. I know. That was just funny. You gave me that one.
You walked right into it. No, we're not. We're not. And we can reconcile that by acknowledging who the Lord is.
Yeah.
So what would you guys say are recommendations to the guy or the gal who is figuring out how to love themselves well according to the Bible?
Mm. I mean, it's what Mariah said. It starts with scripture.
Yeah.
If you believe the truth that God says about you, you won't believe the lies that the world or Satan or yourself say about you.
Mm.
Because God has told us who we are. He has told us that we are prince and princesses. Prince and princesses? We are children of the King.
Yeah, we are.
And if you believe that you have the Holy Spirit in you, then you will also believe that you are not enough and that it is okay.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If you recognize your need for a Savior,
mm-hmm.
you know He is so much better.
And help yourself to remember that practically. If you're in a season where you're struggling for whatever the reason is, buy some note cards. Write out however many Bible verses that you need to point you back to truth. I have a stack of note cards on my desk, and I just look at them on rotation. And it's been helpful. And it's actually been really cool because people have come into my office, whether it's a staff member or a student, and they're talking to me about the Lord and what they're going through. And which is always cool anyway, but I've been able to like give some of those to people. I'm like, actually, I have a good scripture for this and it's already on my desk. So it could be a good opportunity to, you know, share love, with your brothers and sisters, but write those out. Maybe write them for someone. Like if you know someone is going through a hard time, this is a good opportunity for you to practice loving another as yourself by pointing them back to scripture. Handwrite some scripture, give it to people, encourage them, send them a text and say like, hey, I'm thinking about you and I'm praying for you. I think that we have gotten into maybe a habit of not knowing how to love someone well when they're in a tough time. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to recognize, I know that there are no words. I am here for you and I'm praying for you. Even if you say that multiple times.
Yeah.
And so write out scripture, learn it, put it on your mirror, read it before you get in the car, keep them in your car, you know, like just do practical things.
Yeah.
And it's okay to struggle.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Like, sit in your struggles.
Just not alone.
Not alone. With the Lord.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is one of those, it's always easier said than done kind of things, but
oh, yeah.
Truly try to find the smallest wins, the smallest positives, and like go off of that.
Yeah.
And take that in and just, you know, you woke up today.
Yeah.
You got out of bed today.
Yeah.
Seasons are hard. Struggling is hard. And it's so easy to find the, it's so easy to stay in the dark.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We wallow.
Yeah. But find those wins.
I have a friend who does, he practices thankfulness every day. And he writes 10 things. And it can be as small as the spearmint bubblegum or gum. Like, he finds 10 things each day to be thankful for.
That's awesome.
And he writes them down and he posts them on Instagram. And they are so encouraging and they're so sweet. Y'all know him.
I love him.
And just having a heart of gratefulness.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
When my grandpa passed, my grandma sent out like these cards and he didn't want anything. And it says on there, we're not having a funeral, but what Merv would have wanted would be for you to just smile at a stranger. And so I just have this card and I read it every day about just, it's on my fridge, just smiling at a stranger. And like, just that's what my grandpa would have done.
Yeah.
And he loved the Lord. So
yeah,
I love that's it. Amazing. It's really sweet.
That's so sweet.
Sweet Merv. Just wanted you to smile at a stranger, guys. So even if you're having a bad day.
Yeah.
Just tender. Try. And you know what? You won't always get a smile back.
Oh, let me
just say that.
You won't.
Nope.
And like, so, and
sometimes
even that,
people look at you weird.
Oh, yes, yeah. But like, even that, what do you think back at that? You think about yourself.
No. Yeah. You're like, oh, what did I do wrong?
You know?
Or like, why are you, what?
Yes. Well, yeah, sure. Or you blame them. You're like, I, but then it's like, I smiled at you. Why didn't you smile back at me? It's still like, you're still going back to yourself.
Yeah.
But take, you still smiled at them and they might think about it later.
They might.
It'll help you feel nice.
It will.
Practice
kindness.
Yes, good. Practice kindness.
Mm-hmm. We love you, Lord.
We do.
We do.
We really do.
I love you, girls.
Love you, too.
Love you, too. Yay. Let's go.
Cute.
She loves you back.
Yeah.
All right. What are we talking about next week?
All right. Yeah, so... Okay, next week, what are we talking about? Where is it?
I put it on there.
I know, but where'd it go?
Down.
Aha! All right, next week, the cross, the image and the meaning.
Ooh.
That's going to be great.
It will be.
I love that.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for listening to Gather to Scatter. You can find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Just search Gather to Scatter and be sure to follow our Instagram page at Gather to Scatter Podcast and then like, subscribe, and follow below.
Thanks, guys.
Bye. Bye.